I'm VOA's Jeff Custer with this worldwide news update. U.S. President-elect Donald Trump and Republican legislative leaders are getting ready for his first day in office, Associated Press correspondent Jackie Quinn reports.
On the campaign trail, Donald Trump suggested using executive orders to remove migrants in the country without authorization. Republican Senator John Barrasso on NBC's Meet the Press says that's among the top priorities.
The high costs and the open border, and those are the things we're going to start working on immediately.
Government staffing and spending cuts are also on the agenda.
We continue to spend too much. The government is too big. Yeah. It does too much.
Trump is pressuring Republican Senate leaders to change the rules to allow him to appoint some nominees without Senate confirmation. I'm Jackie Quinn.
President-elect Trump has begun to announce members of his new administration. From his Truth Social account late Sunday, Trump announced Tom Homan, who served as his acting Immigration Customs Enforcement, or ICE, director, will serve as border czar in his incoming administration. Monday, he announced loyalist New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik will serve as an ambassador to the United Nations. Stefanik, just elected to her fifth term in Congress, previously worked in former U.S. President George W. Bush's administration. Once viewed as a moderate Republican, soon after Trump's election, she became a staunch supporter of the president-elect. In terms of foreign policy, Stefanik, during a speech last May, expressed her absolute support for Israel.
As long as I serve the American people, I will defend George Washington's vision of religious pluralism and freedom. Today, this means crushing anti-Semitism at home and supplying the state of Israel with what it needs, when it needs it, without conditions to achieve total victory in the face of evil.
In Trump's first term in office, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley served as UN ambassador. This is VOA News. Israel said Monday there's been progress regarding a Lebanon ceasefire and indicated Russia could play a part by stopping Hezbollah from rearming via Syria, although the Iran-backed group said it had not received any new truce proposals from Israel. Pummeled by Israel's offensive, Hezbollah said diplomatic contacts were underway involving Iran, Washington, and Moscow, while reiterating its readiness to fight on, saying it had enough weapons for a long war. In Jerusalem, Israeli Foreign Minister Gideon Saar said the war against Hezbollah was not yet over. The main challenge facing any ceasefire deal would be enforcement, he said, though there has been a certain progress in talks.
There is progress, and we will be ready to be there if we will know, first of all, that Hezbollah is not on our border, is north and to the Litani River, and that Hezbollah will not be able to arm again with new weapon systems.
Japanese lawmakers voted Monday for Prime Minister Shigeru Ishiba to stay on as leader after his scandal-tarnished coalition lost its parliamentary majority in a lower house election last month. Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman reports.
Monday's vote in parliament went to a runoff for the first time in 30 years. No candidate was able to muster majority support in the first round, but Ishiba eventually prevailed as expected and garnered 221 votes. Ishiba, who called the snap poll after taking office on October 1st, must now run a fragile minority government. Challenges loom on the diplomatic front as tension rises with rivals China and North Korea. And some Japanese officials fear U.S. President-elect Donald Trump might again hit Tokyo with protectionist trade measures. But Ishiba's imminent challenge is compiling a supplementary budget for the fiscal year through March. Ishiba's Liberal Democratic Party has ruled Japan for almost all of its post-war history, but his coalition lost its majority in October amid a scandal over unrecorded donations to lawmakers.
That was Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman reporting. U.S. President Joe Biden marked Veterans Day Monday, observed in Europe as Armistice Day, with a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery outside Washington. Fulfilling a duty for the last time as president, Biden participated in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. He arrived flanked by Vice President Kamala Harris in their first public appearance together since the election. In his remarks, Biden noted it was his last time presiding over the ceremony, honoring the nation's veterans.
This is the last time I will stand here at Arlington as Commander-in-Chief. It's been the greatest honor of my life to lead you, to serve you, to care for you, to defend you, just as you defended us generation after generation after generation.
Since 1921, the memorial at Arlington National Cemetery has been the final resting place for an unidentified World War I service member. That wraps up this update, but the world and the news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website. I'm Jeff Custer, VOA News.